Welcome to the Noted Podcast, episode number 19.
19.
Man, we're on our way. We're building our way up there.
One more and we can quit.
One more and we're done forever. Today we're going to talk about a Netflix show called Stranger Things. It's a really good show. We are your hosts. I'm Luke.
I'm DJ.
I'm Murray.
I'm Zach.
And, man, he likes to mix it up. Get your notepads out because we have some notes. Do we want to go around? Okay, we'll do just like we do with Suicide Squad. We'll give a score. A 1 out of 10, what do you give this show?
10.
If I could give it an 11, I would do it. But I'll give it a 10.
10.
Yeah. So we're done. That's the end of the podcast.
Right. Good job, guys.
No, so we'll get into, like, with the Suicide Squad episode, we started with pros first, then we went into cons. The pros lasted, we covered it in about 2 minutes. And then the cons, we went into.
So you want to start with cons this time?
Is there even?
That's what I'm sitting here trying to think.
I mean, like, this show, I'm trying to think of a con.
It was too short.
Was there? Okay. That's a good con.
That's a great con.
It's too short. 8 episodes.
It's almost 7 hours. It's too short.
You know, it's kind of funny that, you know, you bring that up because don't they kind of sort of meta comment on that in the show? Because, like, there's a line there in the episode 8 where they're like, they're talking about how many hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? And they're like, what are you complaining about? Like, we, you know, it's almost like they were saying, like, we just gave you 8 hours of a great show, you know?
When I went through and rewatched it again, there were a couple scenes that I skipped through just because they were so awkward that I couldn't bring myself to watch them again.
Which ones?
Pretty much when the bullies were bullying them and anything with Carol and the other dickhead's name, Steve's friends.
Oh, yeah, Steve's friends were douches.
Yeah. I hated them so much. I was like, I don't want to watch them again.
Yeah.
So I just kind of skipped through that.
But you have to have those scenes
to
earn those moments where, like, she makes them pee on themselves and things like that. Like, that's what made those scenes
so
powerful.
Don't have those scenes that pee on himself, she would just look like a total jerk.
Right, yeah. You have to have those moments that make you earn that moment.
But you're talking about characters growing in the last pod, but that kid never grew.
Who?
The one she broke his arm. It's like he's in the police station. He's still like, they're freaks and losers.
I mean, he's also like,
he's not meant to grow.
He's only 9 years
what,
old.
What kid, bro? Who are you talking about?
When the one that had the knife, he's only cut Dustin. And then,
oh, the bullies?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, screw them. They're
not meant to grow.
We're following the main characters there. Wow. They grow. Those characters totally grow. This show is exactly, it nailed it. Like, these people, please write DC movies. Like, you nail, like, what, you get it. You understand, like, you know,
I don't want them to write DC movies. I want them to keep writing.
Oh, yeah. Just please keep writing the show. Yeah. Just keep, please, you know. Like, even like the you know, we were talking about this a second ago, just the sheriff. What's his name? Hopper?
Yeah.
Dude, Hopper is, like, awesome. He's so awesome. Because that's the thing I love about this show is, like, it's so easy to go off on a tangent about Eleven and how great Eleven is. But really, every character is amazing.
Yeah.
Every single character is utilized perfectly. They're all used perfectly well. Like, when you're first introduced to Hopper, you're kind of like, oh, this is like just the douchebag sheriff who, like, he doesn't care about his job and he's just sort of this beat, you know, just withered down cop who doesn't care. And then the more you follow him, the more you're like, this guy is awesome. Like, when he's breaking into that place, like, my favorite moment with him is where he goes up to that guy, and the guy's like, whoa, whoa, you're not supposed to be back here. And he's like, and he just punches him.
The exact same thing happened with my girlfriend, because she started watching it, and I was like, text me, please, as you're watching this. I want to know what goes through your head.
Yeah.
And she's, for starters, she's like, I don't really like this sheriff.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next episode or something, she's like, okay, I like him now.
The sheriff's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, you get, you, they make you want to hate him at the beginning because it's when Will goes missing and she's like, so-and-so's in your office, or so-and-so called, they stole the garden gnomes or whatever. And he's like, yeah, first thing, we're all on that.
Right,
and
yeah.
Like, then she's like, Will's missing. And he's like, didn't show any change of emotion. He's still like, nah, I'll get right on that after coffee, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, coffee and contemplation.
Yeah.
And then she's in the office and he's like, God dang it.
Like the moment that almost, well, I won't get that. We'll save that because that moment almost wrecked me. But the kind of just going with what you're saying, you know, like the, just that's what was so great about this show, the way it would make you think one thing about one character and then by the end of it, that's what I mean by growth. You know, like you felt totally different by the end of the show. Like the eldest sister. You know, when you're first introduced to her in the episode one, you know, like the first moment you see her is Toothless going up to her room and he's looking at her and he's smiling and then she just slams the door in his face and you get this impression like, oh, she's like the jerk sister. And then by the end of it, you really care for her and you really want her to. And then the same thing with her boyfriend, the bully. You kind of don't like him, but then at the end of it, you're kind of like,
he's okay.
You know what? He's okay.
I don't like,
he's
actually,
I like him because I like how, you know, his douchebag friends, you know, they point out to him, they say, you always run away. That's what you always, what's his name? Do you remember his name?
Tommy.
Is it Tommy?
Tommy and Carol.
You're going to pull up character names because I don't remember.
I'm but, all over it.
But he, you know, they say that. They go, you always run away. And then at the end, when he goes into the house and, you know, the girl and the guy.
I love that. I love that whole thing.
Yeah. And what does he almost do? He almost runs away. And then he's like, and he even goes out to the car and he's like, what? And he goes, you know what? And he goes in and he whoops ass. Yeah. He like takes that bat and he's using all that athleticism. But it's Steve. That was his name. I just saw it. Steve.
Steve's the main guy. Steve is the...
Steve?
The boyfriend.
Yeah, Steve's the boyfriend. That's the guy I'm talking about. Yeah, he takes the bat and he's fighting him and everything. I liked him.
I liked that scene, but I did. I wish Nancy and him wouldn't have got together.
Do you wish Nancy and the guy...
Of course.
You know what I think? I think they're saving it.
I hope they are.
I think, yeah, I think they're inevitably saving it for another season.
I don't know. I just...
His name's Jonathan, the guy you're talking about. I'm seeing it right there. Jonathan Byers. He,
I still think she...
I love that character.
I loved him, too.
Loved him.
I still think in the back of her mind, she's thinking about him... watching from the weeds, taking pictures of them.
When I watched episode one, that the show never bothered to bring up the fact that Jonathan is a photographer. Like there's no mention of it. So when he starts pulling his camera out and he's taking pictures of him, that felt very weird to me. And I was sort of watching the show going, oh no, is this show about to do something stupid and I don't like it?
Well,
but it was quickly forgivable because it drove the story. And the more scenes they showed with Jonathan, you understand. Because I just thought he was like the cooler older brother to Will.
Well, didn't when she was in when she was in the photography room with him. Didn't he mention, she said something like, I didn't know you were into this.
Right, yeah.
The first time you hear of him being was when they're looking for pictures of Will to put on a poster.
Yeah.
And she's looking at all those pictures and she goes, I wish I would have paid more attention to
yeah.
So that's when you actually find out he's a photographer.
Yeah. I mean...
Was that first episode?
First episode, they don't do any mention of being... It bothered me at first, but then as the show progressed, I was like, I'm okay with this because... I really like his character. You just really like him. Because, like, when he goes and, you know, just stands up to Will's dad and stuff. I really liked him. And I liked how he was just so honest. You know, like, I love that scene where he's talking. What is her name, the eldest sister?
Nancy.
Nancy, yeah. I love the scene where, you know, he's out in the woods with Nancy and he just lays it to her like it is. He's just like, yeah, and you're just going to... marry that guy and just have a crap life just like everybody else. And, you know, like
parents.
That dude was awesome. I loved him. What did you guys think about just the kids? Just the main characters.
The kids, like the Goonies. Sorry,
it was very Goonies.
It was the kids I wish I was when I was little.
I knew when I binged the show the first time, and then I text McMurray about Stranger Things, and you said you hadn't watched it yet. I was like, dude, you will love this show. Because it is just like 80s hardcore. It's
everything
about it.
They did such a good job capturing that.
Oh, perfect. It literally feels like a show that could have been filmed in the
80s. Yeah.
Like, if someone was like, this was filmed in the 80s, I would be like, wow, this is amazing. This really holds up.
You told me that, and then I saw a thing online talking about this show. It's like a Netflix show almost directed by Steven Spielberg in the 80s.
For real.
And I was like, okay, I need to check this out. And then I started watching it. Like, that first scene is them playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
And it was like 5 minutes into it, and I'm like, I'm sold.
My favorite scene in the whole show, and there's so many, so it's really hard to like, but it's still my favorite moment in the entire show, is where they're sitting at the table with Eleven, and they go, where is Will? And she flips the board over, and it's black, and she goes, and then she, you know, she takes his piece and puts it there, and then they're like, you know, who's he with or something. She takes that Demogorgon or whatever that the monster's called and sets it right next to it. And they're just like, because that scene just perfectly explained it all. Like, Will's in like, trouble.
The first time I watched through that and they did that scene, I kind of glossed over it. So I was still kind of like, what?
Yeah.
But then when I watched it again, I was like, she just explained
it. Yeah, that scene explained everything.
Did you, when you watched it again, I watched the first episode again. When you watched that first episode, and did you catch on Will talking about the Demogorgon getting him?
Oh, yeah.
In the first episode?
Yeah.
Like, you don't catch that when
you're watching. Total foreshadowing. Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, because, he goes out there, and he goes, because he says something about rolling the dice, and he's like, the Demogorgon got me.
And you're just like, oh,
shit. And then, yeah, it's like, oh, wow. Like, they perfectly set that up. Yeah. I love the intro. Just the opening title, the way the title just comes in, beautiful. It is. It's beautiful.
Simple. It
sounds like a John Carpenter simple.
Soundtrack. It sounds
someone said it perfectly. They said, it feels like Steven Spielberg shot it, but it was written by Stephen King. And there is some Stephen King-esque. Oh, there's a lot of
Stephen King-esque stuff in
there. Oh, yeah. Because it does. There's moments in it that feel like E.T. Yeah. That feel like, well, that's Steven Spielberg. Like the moment where, you know, I love the... You know, where they're riding on the bicycles, that felt like right out of E.T. And the vans coming at them.
Some of the shots were almost shot by shot copies of E.T.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever watched that link I texted you, but it shows all these different scenes in the show and their 80s counterpart.
Yeah.
Like what movie or show or whatever.
That they're kind of comparing it to, yeah.
Then when I went back and watched it again, I was like, hey, there's E.T. There's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, there's Commando or whatever. And I just loving the 80s movies as much as I do. It just was right up my alley.
And I feel like, too, the show did a really great job of, even though it's dealing with this very, like, fantastical idea, where it's like, okay, we're dealing with this, they called it Upside Down, you know, where it's like, it's this other unit, it's like this alternate realm. Yeah, the Shadow Realm or whatever. They did a really great job of, like, explaining that in simple terms enough to where you let it go. You were like, I'm not going to question this too much. I'm not going to be, I'm with it. I'm rolling with it.
They like, had the plot point teacher that explained everything. Yeah. And
like, at no point in the show for me did it get on the point of, like, well, this is just ridiculous. Like, I rolled with it. It was cool, you know, the way they did it.
I really like the mom. Will's mom.
Okay.
Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder. I have a thing for Winona Ryder. I loved her back in the day. Like, back in Girl Interrupted. Girl Interrupted. Back in, Edward Scissorhands.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've always loved her. And so, that's like the weird thing about this show is everybody brings it. Like, their performances are so good. Like, Winona Ryder's performance was amazing. The Hopper was amazing. The kids were amazing. However, if I had to bring it down to one person, I think 11 stole the show. 11, hands down for me, was absolutely incredible.
For someone having like 30 lines throughout the entire series.
She literally says, yeah, maybe 20 to 30 lines.
Her face conveyed every emotion.
Yes.
Her acting.
That's what I said to my brother. I called my brother. I'd finished like episode 3, and I called him and I go, whoever this girl is that is playing 11, what's her name? Millie Bobby Brown?
Millie Bobby Brown, which is an awesome name.
Yeah. I called him and I go, this girl is acting her balls off with her eyes. Just her eyes. Like, she conveys so much emotion with her eyes.
She was in NCIS.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They, what's interesting is how they got her for the show. The Duffer brothers, that's who makes the show.
Duffy, yeah.
Or Duffy, is it Duffy? I thought it was Duffer.
It might be Duffner, but I thought it was Duffy.
I thought it was Duffer.
It was Duffer.
Is it Duffer?
It's probably Duffer then.
Yeah, it's Duffer. Anyway, the Duffer brothers, how they, look how good that poster is.
Yeah.
That poster is sick. For anyone who's not seen the Stranger Things poster, look it up. It's awesome.
Looks like a mix between E.T. and Star Wars.
Oh, I want it. I want that poster.
It really is. It's a mix between yeah. E.T. and Star Wars. That's why I was trying to figure out. I was like, why does this look
that
so
that poster is so cool.
The lights, yeah. The letters.
The Force.
I don't know what I was going to
say. Yeah, she's in the Force.
What was I going to say?
Talking about 11 and Duffer Brothers.
Oh, yeah. How they got her. How they got her was Stephen King had written about her in his blog or something, but he wrote about it. He was like, I watched something and this little girl was in it. She was amazing. So they were like, well, that grabs our attention because we're making this Stephen King-esque type show. So they interviewed her, and the Duffer brothers did, and they were talking to her. They were like, we want you for the role. We think you're perfect for this. And they were like, but we're going to have to shave your head. And she was like, you know, she's a girl. She has long hair, and she's like, you know, well, what will I look like? You know, she's like, she was real nervous about it. So they showed her an image from Mad Max.
Furiosa.
Yeah, Furiosa. They showed her that and they go, what do you think about this? And she goes, I think that looks badass. And so she took the part and that's how she got it. Huh. So if Mad Max never happened, we never would have got 11. I'll give Mad Max that. For anyone that wants to understand that reference, go and watch our
Oscars.
Was that our Oscars episode?
That was our Oscars when McMurray was talking about how much he loved it. You were talking about it.
No, that wasn't Oscars. That was our episode where we say
favorite.
Five things that we did not like. Yeah.
We talked about both.
Right, yeah.
It was McMurray's favorite. It's so good. Or one of McMurray's favorites. It wasn't
even. It was one of my
favorites last year. Yeah. I will say this about Mad Max. Upon my second viewing, I enjoyed it more. You know, he still mumbles through the whole movie, but I did enjoy it more.
It's not his movie. It's
Once I knew what I was going into,
well,
yeah, I was like,
well, they shouldn't name it Mad Max. let's not go into it.
Yeah, let's not go into Mad Max. Let's not go into it.
Stupid.
I mean, this show, it's so good. It's firing on all cylinders.
I'll tell you what that I enjoyed most about this show was the ending of season one. Because usually an ending of a movie or a season leaves you just wanting more. This one does, but it also answers 90% of your questions. And it gives you a little bit of a closure so you can.
Yeah. Okay. You're talking about how it ended with...
Man, I have questions.
There's questions in the show.
Don't get me wrong. There's still questions, of course. I mean, and they do that on purpose when Hopper's going to the box to put the egos in there. But I'm talking, you know, at least Will's not still lost. You have Will back, even though he's throwing up slugs, which is weird.
Okay, so my brother binged this show in like one day. How he did that, I don't understand it. But anyway, I called it... He binged the whole show. I got to episode 3 and I called him and I was like, this show is amazing. And we were talking about it and I was like, if you spoil anything, I'll murder you. But I was like, just tell me this. Does the show end in such a way where everything is answered, and there's no possible chance for a second season? Like, is it just a complete series? Or does it end in such a way where they end it, but they leave the door open for a possible season? And his, how he said it was, he goes, well, they answer most things. He goes, but they do things where it could continue.
Mm-hmm.
So when I finished it, I called him back and I was like, I think you just straight up lied to me. They just, there's so many questions. Like, to me, they set it up where it's like, if there's not a season two, I riot.
Oh, they've already confirmed.
I know there is, but I'm saying at the time when I finished it, I was like, there better be a season two. Because if they just ended it, I would have been like, what the frick was going on with that kid? He's like coughing up slugs.
That's not what I was saying when I said that I liked how it ended. What I was saying is I was content with it. You know, I want more, but I'm okay with waiting for more. It's not like a Game of Thrones where I want more right now.
Yeah, I know. I need more right now.
When does Luke Cage come out?
Nothing on TV, right?
September 30th?
Something like
that. It's like the end of September.
I know, that's...
It sounds like a shower, or it sounds like a cow pissing on a flat rock in there.
Yeah. But I can't think of what I was watching. When I was watching, I was like, how long has it been since I've had a show grab me like this? And it's Punisher season two.
You mean Daredevil season two. But I can see how you can think Punisher. Because I mean, he's the star. Yeah, he's the highlight of that show.
But yeah, like, okay, so what are some of the questions that you were like?
Well, the slug thing. I'm trying to think.
The slug thing, the ego thing, him having visions.
Oh, the ego thing. You just blew my mind. I forgot about that. Yeah, what's up with that?
Well,
he takes the egos out there. Oh, and then the other big question is
11. 11's got to be still alive. That's why... Okay, Hopper gets in the back of in that car, and obviously they go back to the lab, where I'm guessing... I don't know. What's the guy's name? The bad dude that Brenner. You think might be dead because Brenner. The dude attacked him.
Dr. Brenner.
He's the white hair guy?
Yeah.
No, Dr. Brenner.
So, obviously, he's probably going back to the lab to either talk to Dr. Brenner, who didn't die, or talk to someone who's in charge now. And I'm guessing 11 is still alive, and they realize that there's a connection with 11. Because, if you'll remember, their agreement was that they could go in there and get Will, but 11 is brought back, and everyone forgets everything. So I'm guessing that 11 is alive, and she's probably either in the underworld.
See, that's the question, though. What happened? Did she blow up, or did she just teleport, or what the frick happened in that
area? We don't know. She could probably do anything she wants to.
See, this is what would disappoint me. Well, I don't know. I don't give a crap, because it's written so well, I'll love it, whatever they do. But the thing about it is to me... I want them to bring back that actress, and I think they will, because she's amazing.
Uh-huh.
They'd be stupid not to. But to me, there's two different ways you could do that. You could say she teleported, so it's the same girl. Or you could say, no, she blew up, but she's 11. Who's 1 through 10?
Those are the kids.
I don't know that. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I don't know that. Do they say that?
Yes.
No, well, they don't.
They do.
She was that one woman's daughter that they took from her. That's a Summer Shandy.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
It's like lemonade.
But do you think the monster was just a monster? Or do you think it was her? Do you think she was the monster? Do you think that the monster that was attacking everyone...
You just blew my mind.
Do you think it was... Like, the way I'm leaning, it was like a manifestation of her fear and anger. She was feeling when she was stuck in the facility being pretty much tortured and put in solitary.
I don't think that at all.
I got that it was just a monster from a different
dimension. Exactly. But, that's exactly what
Well, yeah, but to go off what he's saying, we don't know enough about the upside down. I don't know. You might be dead on, but I don't know enough about it to comment. They didn't give me enough information to understand upside down.
Well,
I don't know.
Maybe just because she was in the sensory deprivation tank, but like when she first starts going in there, there's nothing in this other Shadow of the Veils or whatever the kids call it from D&D. And it didn't look like any of the other world started to show up until she got out. She started to see the rest of the county or the area, and then that's when the other parts started to show up in the shadow world or whatever.
Kind of no, when she goes in the shadow world, even after, I mean, like,
well, she's in
the shadow world at that point. She's just in that tank, teleporting to the shadow world. She tried what was it? She tried to like pinpoint somebody based on like when they were talking or whatever, because that's what they were using her for. That's what they were using her for. Is to
learn. Wanted to go get the radio, and then she's trying to find Will.
No, I'm talking about while he was under Brenner's.
They're trying to find.
Oh, Brenner.
She was using her as a weapon.
Okay, yeah.
And then you know she's in this other dimension, and that's where she sees the monster.
And then what is Brenner using her for? Is Brenner using her to contact this other realm? He is, right.
Well, At first, he was using her as a weapon. He was using her as a spy. Go here, listen to what this guy says, and they could hear it over the intercom, if you remember.
Yeah, okay.
So they could hear all these conversations that were happening behind closed doors and stuff. And then the monster came through. And then Brenner was like, we need to go make contact with this monster, because this is cool, or whatever.
So that's where your theory comes in, where you think, maybe she created the monster. Maybe she created this realm, and maybe
she told Will and them that she was the monster.
When did that
happen? That was episode.
She did say that.
No, she. Well, how I took that is she was saying everything was her fault, that she's a monster because she created the door.
Yeah.
She created the door that allowed it into this world.
And that's why that was so heartbreaking because. You know, like that scene, I'm just going to get into it. I'm probably going to cry when I talk about it. But the scene where, you know, they go to find Will. And Hopper's like, please don't be another dead kid. You know, that, oh, dude, that scene wrecked me. That scene wrecked me. Where he's like, you know, the kid's in the river. And then they're like, it's Will. And Lucas is like, it's Will. And then, like, you know, they she's standing there. And he goes, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And the face that she gives, she's like a kicked puppy. You know, it's like she finally gets a good master who's good to her. And he's just yelling at her, what is wrong with you? And then they hit you with We Can Be Heroes. That song starts playing. And I just died. I just freaking jumped out the window and killed myself. Because that scene... But I mean, because I thought to myself, I was like, some madman wrote this very dramatic, sad scene, and then they were like, what can we do to really just hit the audience right in the feels? Just right in the feels. And they were like, we can be heroes. Just for one day. That scene wrecked me. And it ends with like Winona Ryder and Jonathan, they're hugging in front of the car. No, I'm just
and all those
up.
Cop cars come
in. I almost
stopped
talking.
Like,
that scene wrecked me.
After that episode is over, I was like, I don't know if I want to watch any more of this.
That scene killed me. But then, this is what's amazing about that show. So they give you that episode, which was heartbreaking. And it was great. It was good heartbreaking. Then they give you episode 4, which is hilarious. Because that's the episode where there's like a lot of comedy in episode 4. That's the part where they're like, they go to the school and that one teacher is looking at 11 and he's like, I don't think I've ever met you before. Where are you from? And they're like, Ecuador. they're just like making up all these lies. And I love the scene where like they're all sitting at the table. And then 11 just strolls into the living room, and Lucas or Toothless just bangs the table to get their attention.
He's my favorite kid.
He is.
Toothless is awesome.
I absolutely loved his smile when Luke was talking about earlier when he went to go give Nancy that slice of pizza, and she got up, and it was like the greatest day of his life, and he had the biggest smile, and she closed the door, and it just went away.
My favorite moment with Toothless was when, and it happens immediately after a very dramatic moment where Lucas and the main kid, I can't think of his name.
Mike.
Where Lucas and Mike are fighting. And she uses her brain to throw Lucas across that, you know. And so anyway, they run over there and they're checking on him, and he wakes up and he's freaking out because she hurt him and everything. And Toothless, and he goes, dude, she threw you with her brain. He was like, it was awesome. And he goes, awesome. And he goes, dude, she threw you with her brain. Like, I love Toothless. He's so cool. They said what they're going to do because, you know, that's the thing about these shows is that you film them and then it takes you so many months to edit them and add special effects. And, you know, it takes a long time for the show to then eventually reach Netflix for us to watch it. So by the time we see these, like they said already, like the kid Mock has a deep voice. Like his voice is already dropped, like they're growing, you know. And they said that's the hard thing about child actors is you got to pump those shows out quick.
They didn't have the budget for a season two
yet. No. So they said they're and what they're going to have to do is when they go into season two, it can't be like one day later. You know, it's like they're going to have to address, yes, the kids are older. You know, yes, they're, you know. So they said, like, they're going to have to do the Harry Potter route where it's like it's a new, you know, it's a year later, it's a new school year. And they said that's how they're going to do it, how they'll handle it. Which I'm happy about because this show could easily take the, anyone watch True Detective? The show True Detective, like, the way they do it is like season one, you follow these certain characters, and then season two, you follow completely separate characters, but it all takes place in the same universe. I feel like they could easily do that with this show. But I'm happy that they're not. I'm happy we're following those same kids, those same characters.
I want possible more 11.
You became so attached to Mike, Lucas, Dustin.
You do. 11. And I became so attached to 11. And I came so attached to 11 and Mike's relationship. Like, dude, how heartbreaking was that? I'm going to cry again. How heartbreaking was that? Where Mike was like, he asked her to the dance.
Then he kissed her.
Oh my gosh, dude. That wrecked me. That freaking wrecked me. And then, like, then she dies. Like, this poor kid, you know, he finally... Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it would be so... Well,
to him right now.
She's dead. Yeah, she's dead. It would be so devastating if, like, it's not the same 11. Like, if she comes back different or doesn't remember it. It's like all those things we saw in season one. It's like, oh, we lost that. Like, yeah. We don't, you know. That would. I want her to be her again, you know.
I think my favorite scene, and she's in it, is just like Brenner's little lap dogs. To go around, and there's that one lady, like she shoots the cook in the head, yeah. All stuff, and they're in the school, and they've got them surrounded, and they got their guns pointed at the kids, and all of a sudden, that look of fear goes over that lady's face, and then blood starts to come out of her eyes. And
that was a great scene.
I was pumping my fist. I was like, "Yes, eat it, lady. You finally getting it." And then they just all drop.
Dude, she wrecked shop that night. Yeah, that was so cool. She's just killing people.
Could you imagine if this show goes on for like for a while, and it's to the point where like she 11 is older.
Yeah,
and she's learned to control shit better, and she can like kill people without them get or without her getting weak and stuff. Like she's got the endurance now.
She becomes Dark Phoenix.
It would be interesting to see where they take
and
it.
And then she has her own movie.
Yeah, it looks like she can teleport between dimensions because she probably took that monster.
Player. If that's what happened, if that's what happened,
that's what I'm hoping happened.
Or she just blew up. I don't know.
I want to know if there's going to be any effects on. All the people that were in the other realm without protection. Because at one point they say it's toxic in there.
Yeah.
Will's in there for a long time.
Well, we clearly saw Will is messed
Will
up.
Will was having some visions.
Well, I mean, but Hopper and Joyce were both in there and they took their helmets off and they were breathing that stuff too when they were trying to resuscitate.
Well, okay, that brings up a good question.
Nancy and
Jonathan were in there too. What is going on with Will? I mean,
no,
but I mean, like,
Jonathan didn't go in there, did he?
Mm-hmm. Oh no, Nancy did.
Nancy did, and then she got out. But okay, but her friend did.
Her friend did.
Barb, and Barb got eaten.
Yeah.
So that's my question: why does Barb go in and get eaten? Well, Will was in there for like 3 weeks.
Will was hiding.
Will did.
No, I get that. But then when they find Will, what the frick is going on? He's got that like tube in his mouth. Yeah, which I guess that's how slugs are getting in it. Like, what were they doing?
It reminded me of Facehuggers from Alien.
Dude, it did. Remember the egg scene?
It was like Hopper sees
it. I know. Yeah, like, and that was straight up Aliens.
Yeah.
And it had Winona Ryder in it. Perfect. Perfect. I know people don't like the Winona Ryder Alien movie. I do. I don't care what people
Resurrection.
Think. It's Resurrection.
I
just love Winona Ryder. But anyway, I felt like, could there be a little more to that? Did the monster know? What I'm getting at is, okay, the monster ate Barb.
It didn't eat her, but she was laying there.
It killed her.
It killed her.
But it didn't kill Will. It hooked Will up to a thing, because what I'm wondering is like, is this a way for that monster to gain access to our realm? Okay, the slugs go down the drain. I'm thinking Ghostbusters. Them things are going to go down the drain, be in the sewer, they're going to grow into big monsters.
But did he do the same thing to Barb, and she was just one of the shell of her.
Do we see what happened to Barb?
Well, yeah. She's climbing out of the pool. She's almost getting away. And she's like crying hysterically and yelling. Yeah. And the monster grabs her. With Will, though, Will is constantly trying to run away. I think maybe the same thing happened to Barb, but she's had time to die in there.
So you're saying we never saw a scene with Barb die?
Possibly.
She may
have had the same thing happen to her that Will did. It's just that eventually killed her. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Will got in there before she did. But Will ran the entire time.
See, Barb got caught in like the second or third episode.
Right.
And then Levin goes into the sensory deprivation tank to find both of them. And she finds Barb's corpse.
Right.
Will got caught by the monster in like the seventh episode.
So we saw Barb dead.
Yeah.
That's why I kept thinking I knew Barb died. Because, I mean,
But she wasn't the only one that was the
But
guy
we don't know how Barb died.
There's that one dude they send in. He's on that chain.
Then there's a guy in the elevator, just two hunters.
Oh, the dude in the elevator, yeah.
It's kind of like
the two hunters that went missing.
Right. Right.
They just say it to Hopper.
They just say it, yeah.
So who knows when all of them are.
If you take every one of those people and if the monster really is just capturing them, putting a slug in them or whatever, so the slug can grow and turn into another one. How many people is that? Barb, the two hunters. Two facilities. So that's five. And then Wheels, that slug. Well, there's a slug.
Cuffed it up.
Yeah. So...
I'm taking
that.
That
could be six monsters in season two.
That's how you guys are interpreting it as well.
I kind of feel that way.
It's aliens. It's like what you're saying. It's instead of bursting out of your chest, he coughs them up.
It's another 80s movie.
And then they're going to morph into the sewer into another big monster.
I want to know what other monsters are in that place.
Well, you know what's interesting? The Duffer Brothers, this is another thing I watched. They wrote a 30-page thing on the upside down world, and they asked them, they said, well, how much of those 30 pages do we see in season one? And they were like, two. So there's a lot more to that realm that we didn't even see.
You know, the kids had the Demogorgon, and then you saw it. They also fought the Pestle Hydra at the end. I wonder if that could be next season's.
I really like the way that was handled too. I like how, like, you know, the monster's coming at them. And just like stupid kids, they pull out that
slingshot,
and you're just like, kids.
I think that was from,
and then it works, and you're thinking like, you know, for a moment I'm thinking, oh, it's like a video game, like if you hit it in just a certain spot.
That's kind of what I initially thought.
And then you see Eleven like staring at it.
Oh,
you know?
Never mind, Eleven's being a badass.
Yeah, never mind.
Even Lucas was like, oh! Yeah. Damn it.
I like the way they handled Lucas too, because Lucas at first came across like a jerk. Like you were sort of like, why is this kid being such a jerk to Mike? And then they perfectly explain it when Toothless says, you are his best friend. And ever since this girl showed up, all you do is just spend time with her. And you don't. And I think every young guy like connects with that, because we've all had that friend.
Really?
Or we've all been there.
Rudy.
I wasn't going to name names, but but I guess what I'm getting at is like that clicked, and that made a lot of sense. Like that was another thing I loved. Like the you know a lot of times whenever they do movies where kids are actors, you know, these scripts are written by adults, So 9 times out of 10, the lines that's coming out of a child's mouth, it feels forced and it doesn't feel like something a kid would say. At no point in the show did I feel that way. I felt like these kids were being, like, literally conversations would just end in mid-sentence, just like a kid would, you know. And they felt real. They felt like real people. And I think that's what was so awesome about this show.
That's why I love shows like this, is, you know, they come out on a Netflix series that they don't know. And this is all new stuff. I mean, it's not like it's a DC where they're guaranteed going to get people to watch it because it's a DC superhero movie. This is a show that they have to write their ass off and act their ass off to produce something great that people are going to love. People are not going to automatically love it.
Well, and what's even more fascinating to that point, I think this is another thing that makes just Netflix just, like, I just want to bow down to it and be like, you guys are incredible. Like, Suicide Squad, or this is all movies. This isn't just Suicide Squad. All movies do this. When they make a movie, they do a, like, kind of a trial run where they show it to an audience to get a feel for, okay, how does the audience react to this? They did that with Suicide Squad. And so apparently the audiences were like, well, we don't like this. So they did these dramatic changes to the movie. That's generally how that works. Netflix doesn't do that. They literally just drop a show on Netflix and they're just like, I hope you like it, you know. And then for us to watch it and go, this is the best thing I've ever seen. I mean, that's so impressive. They don't do a trial run. They just drop it.
You got both ends of the spectrum there. You have Adam Sandler's Western movie.
Gosh, isn't that true?
And you have Stranger Things.
Gosh.
So that's...
It's funny you bring this up because I was listening to Nerdist podcast on the way down here, and they're talking
how about dare Seth you Rogen. Listen to another podcast.
I listen to
Nerd's podcast, pretty good.
But he's talking to Seth Rogen, and they're talking about Netflix, and they're like, they're going to take chances. They're going to just throw stuff out there because they've got you money.
They've already got it. That's true. That's a good point.
A million subscribers.
That's a good point. Yeah, they've already got it. You've already paid for the movie ticket.
So your money could be going to this, or could be going to Orange is the New Black. It doesn't matter.
I mean, right, yeah.
They've got your money. You don't have to sell your money.
That's a very good point. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like, we've already paid for it. Because, I mean, I don't know about you all, but I don't watch Netflix every day.
No.
There's some weeks I go where I don't watch Netflix.
It's just about...
I don't subscribe to Netflix.
I do, but, I mean, there are times where I don't mean... I'll go a whole week where I don't even log on, you know?
The fuck you just said.
But those times where they're like, here's a new Daredevil, I'm like... You know, I drop everything and I'm on it.
But the whole point is like, yeah, I'm paying for Daredevil and Stranger Things, but I'm also paying for Ridiculous 6. And
yeah.
That other movie.
The other Adam Sandler movie.
That other movie was crap. And I remember that was another like kind of Suicide Squad situation where it's like the trailer looked really good. And I watched it and I was like, this is dog crap.
So you watched the new Adam Sandler movie?
Oh, yeah.
I watched part of it.
Was it better than the other one?
No, it's just as bad.
Really?
So horrible. Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
Makes me want to watch both of them.
You've not watched either one of them? No. They're horrible.
I want to...
There is one funny moment in the Ridiculous 6. I'll give him that. Only one moment where I went, ha-ha. Like, I just kind of chuckled. And because it is. It's a very funny bit. It's the part where he goes into, like, a hotel. Adam Sandler comes to this hotel and he's like talking to this woman and he's just talking to her, having a normal conversation, and he like pulls a knife out and he throws it on the bed, and then he takes his gun at his pistol off and he throws it on the bed, and then they're just talking. They never address what he's doing. He's just having a normal conversation with her. Then he pulls out another knife, and then he pulls out a big sword, and he drops on the bed. And then before the scene's over with, there is a mountain of weapons lying on the bed. And I was like, that's actually pretty funny. The rest of the movie's dog crap.
See, I don't remember that, because after I watched it, I was so upset.
Oh, it was awful.
Because I was watching it, I was like, this is awful, but I started it, and I can't not finish it. And then after it ended, I was like, I should have stopped back when I first said it.
At no point does it get redeemable. Like, at no point you're just like, wow, I just wasted
it. Made me so
all that time. Like,
it made me so upset because I love Terry Crews.
Well,
and it just
No, it makes me upset for a deeper read. It makes me upset because I want to see a good Adam Sandler movie again.
Yeah.
I
just
don't think because that guy started out so strong. He had two great, amazing movies. And we all know the two I'm referring to. And
I feel like...
And then he's had other ones like Big Daddy.
I liked Big Daddy.
And, you know, I mean, he's had other movies. I even like Click. I thought Click was an okay movie. But...
Mr. Deeds.
I'll tell you another great one is 50 First Dates.
Oh, yeah.
50 First Dates is a great movie. He's actually had good movies. But... His most recent ones are so bad.
Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore.
Waterboy. Waterboy's a great movie.
Fucking Waterboy's the...
It's great.
He's had a lot of good...
He has. He has had good movies. What I'm glad
that he's not done, though, Waterboy 2. Happy Gilmore 2.
Please, that's a good point.
Please, God, don't
leave
ever.
Him alone.
It's just like, it's what they should have done with Ghostbusters.
Yeah, leave them alone. Just don't. It's great.
Leave these framed in the history of time as great stuff. Go make other shitty movies.
You mean to tell me something. You don't want to see a Mrs. Deeds?
51 First Dates? 51 First Dates.
Okay.
Or we're talking about Stranger Things.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how we got off. Well, we're talking about Netflix.
Yeah. That's okay.
I've talked about this before. It seems like whenever there's a podcast or whenever we're podcasting about, you know, something that's bad, it's like there's so many things to say. But whenever you're talking about something this good, it's like there's really not much to say other than like, please keep making this. Just please keep doing what you're doing. This is incredible, you know. I kind of look at it this way. I'm going to get a Stranger Things poster in my man cave that I'm working on at my house. And let's just, for example, just I don't think it'll happen, but let's just entertain for a second. Let's say Stranger Things Season 2 comes out and it's dog crap. They ruin the show. Suicide Squad. Yeah, good point. True Detective Season 2.
I haven't watched them, but I've heard it was...
Oh, it's horrible. It's terrible. True Detective Season 1's amazing. True Detective Season 2, total dog crap. Let's say they do that with Stranger Things. I'm okay with it, because Stranger Things Season 1 is so good that I'll have my poster of Season 1. I'll just pretend Season 2 doesn't exist.
My Ghostbusters analogy.
Exactly. It's like you're good. I'll always have Season 1. That's me.
What?
Man, a good day.
You're
Luke
Cage.
I'm Luke Cage.
You look different there. He's a Hulk of a man.
That's Nelly. That's not Luke Cage. That's
really random.
Okay, anyways.
Well, anyway. Stranger Things, if you haven't seen this show, please watch it. It's so good.
There's so many good things to say about it, and I just...
Even if you're somebody that's not like a fan of the 80s, I don't give a crap. Watch this show. It's incredible. Amelia watched it with me and she loved it.
I normally don't
watch
things.
She had questions about the scenes where Nancy was hooking up with that guy, but whatever. We went over it. I skipped through it. And I was like... I skipped through Barb.
Errol's her death scene.
No, I watched... I showed Amelia death scenes. Murder and death.
No, I mean, her death scene was the same time as...
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I skipped that whole thing.
I don't normally like watching shows. I don't normally like watching a whole lot of TV shows because I spend my time gaming.
Did you watch this show because me and McMurray was like, you need to watch this?
Not just you two. There was a lot of people that...
No, I get that, but did you recognize we wanted to pod about it? So you're like, I better watch it.
Well, no, I wanted to watch it because you guys liked it, not because we wanted to pod about it.
Well, aren't you just a sweetheart?
I mean, well, it was you. It was you, McMurray, Christian, and Nick. Like, every time anyone mentioned it, any of you were like, oh my, well, Mad Dog, I never talked to Mad Dog unless he's here.
Did I text all of you about it the very first time it came out?
Did, you were like, all you said was, watch Stranger Things. I was like, I am, it's amazing.
I think I remember that now, but I don't think I heard, at the time, I didn't know what the hell you were talking about, so I ignored it.
Yeah, you were like, what's Stranger Things?
So yeah, I don't...
I love that title, Stranger Things. So it perfectly sums that show up.
So at work, I've got 4 or 5 people. I was like, just watch the first episode. And, you know, they were like, oh, okay, I will. With, like, one guy come in the next day, he's like, I'm on episode 6. I was like, when did you start it? Well, it was not. I was like, how late did you stay up? I don't remember.
Okay, can I ask you something, though? This guy you're talking about, did he see Suicide Squad? Did he say he liked it? What the frick is wrong with people? How can they watch something like this and go, this is great, and then watch Suicide Squad and go, that's great too?
That doesn't compare to
that. That makes no sense.
That doesn't compare.
That's like looking at a Lexus and then looking at a Nissan and going, this is the same vehicle.
That guy, he didn't like Batman versus Superman. The guy that sits next to him recently just got the Batman versus Superman Blu-ray. Watched it, said it's his favorite superhero movie of all time.
Well, that guy needs to be killed.
I haven't talked to him much the last week.
It's true.
He really does. He's what's wrong with America.
He's probably,
Trump needs to build that wall for guys like him.
He's probably voting for him. He was a Bernie supporter, so.
Oh, politics.
I'm just kidding. He actually wasn't a Bernie supporter.
You know, For the sake of the pod, let's never get into politics. Let's have all the listeners.
I didn't actually mean that towards any politics. I just meant that as a joke.
I like to make fun of both sides. I think they're both ridiculous. But anyway, have we said all we want to about Stranger Things?
I love it.
I'm wanting more.
I want more. My body wants more. And my mind.
I need Netflix to come out with shows like this every week.
They do.
I'm so happy with Netflix.
Well, Netflix, dude, they're murdering it. They come out with shows like this every, like, few months.
I need them to do it every week.
Because what, Luke Cage is like September?
I need to do it every week until Game of Thrones comes out.
No, because if they do it every week, then I won't work. I won't do anything.
I'm okay with that every month.
Every month I would be okay
with
it.
They actually just brought out something yesterday that's supposed to be really good.
Shut your mouth.
I can't remember the name of it.
Shut your whore mouth.
You shut your
I don't know anything
right
about it.
If anyone's offended by the word whore, listen to the last podcast where I explained that word.
I don't know anything about it.
Why is Bloomin' Onions on the screen?
Oh, there's a good... Did you know there was a new Bloomin' Onion?
No, I did not know.
Have you had their Aussie cheese fries? They take all of that they put on the fries, including the fries, and put it on top of a Bloomin' Onion.
That's trying to kill people.
That's literally dead.
That's ridiculous.
I was showing. Look at this.
2,300 calories.
God. I was showing somebody at work.
Good Lord. That is ridiculous.
He's on a diet like I am, and he's like, man, I'm saving my calories and my carbs and everything this week. We're going to the Outback. I was like, you getting that new Bloomin' Onion? He's like, no, I hadn't seen it. And I showed you this. He's like, no.
That would be all you'd get for the week.
Yeah, that's all you could get.
It's ridiculous. Everyone go look at that Bloomin' Onion.
Sponsored by
Outback.
Shit, new Netflix series.
I think it's called like Get Down or something.
Get Down.
Oh, the Get Down.
Oh, it's like a musical. Yeah, who cares?
God dang it, McMurray.
I just heard it was good. I didn't know anything about it.
To mixed reviews. McMurray didn't even see any kind of reviews.
Excuse
making
your
shit
audience.
Up.
He has mono. He's not thinking about
it. Fair enough, I guess.
Whoa, they only released half of the season. What the hell was that?
Advertising.
All right, Luke's peeing, and I think we're going to wrap this one up.
Yeah.
I think we are done talking about Stranger Things.
You've been noted.
You've been noted.
You've been noted.